What is the Kauffman Foundation?
It's a think tank located in Kansas City, Missouri, that's largely devoted to entrepreneurship and risk capital. So it's in the business of promoting, creating, driving the creation of entrepreneurs, mostly in the U.S., but around the world.
What is your role?
So my role has mostly to do with two things. One is sort of research related to venture capital, as well as advising. It's a foundation, which means it's got a significant amount of money under management, and it has to invest that money. And so we've got a few billion dollars under management, and so I advise our investment team with respect to venture capital investing.
Do you invest yourself?
So separately from the Kauffman Foundation, I invest as an angel myself, as well as investing in, I'm an investor in a number of venture funds as well.
You're here in Calgary today speaking to people who are members or investors or the recipients of AVAC funding. What message do you have for people today in terms of the changes to the investment scenario, the investment community?
There's a bunch of things going on, but which all kind of boils down to that the venture industry is being disrupted. And by disrupted, I mean that there are a bunch of smaller kind of venture-like firms bubbling up from the bottom that are causing all kinds of pain and strife within the venture industry because they're able to do many of the things that historically only the large venture funds were able to do. So these funds have, you know, sort of 15 or even lower, say $10 to $30 million under management, as compared to the giant venture funds of the past, which were $150 to $1 billion under management. And what's happened is that the cost of creating new companies has declined dramatically over the last 12 or 15 years. And so you can go out now with a smaller fund and actually do many of the things that once required a giant venture fund to fund. So in other words, if I wanted to create a software company circa 1995, it might have required $5 or $6 million in investment capital to get a product out the door and into the marketplace. Today, that doing the exact same thing, exact same kind of product, launching into a similar marketplace, I might be able to do in a quarter of the time for $500,000. I mean, that's a dramatic change. And so as a result, it's really transforming the landscape, creating a new generation of much smaller venture funds, much more nimble, faster moving, which are causing, you know, no end of headaches to the large venture funds, and that's a good thing.
Is this fallout from the 2008 global financial collapse?
Not really. This is more fundamental to the way that the world of technology has changed, that it's become so much easier to access customers around the world over the internet, for example. So instead of having to have a sales team located in Japan or Southeast Asia, I can begin marketing products day one to people in Southeast Asia or Australia or wherever else over the web. And so my costs have come down in terms of marketing, but my costs have come down in terms of engineering as well, because many of the core components of new products that I might create are now available for very low prices or even free over the web using things like open source technologies. And as a result, the cost of company creation has declined, you know, precipitously over the last 10 or 15 years. And you know, the whole process, the change might have been sort of accelerated a little bit by what's happened in the last 2 years in the 2008 collapse, but it started before that and it's much deeper than that.
Well, you say that that is a good thing. Why?
That is a good thing, meaning the sort of changes in the venture industry? Well, because what's happened was the industry over the last decade has performed disastrously. Its internal rate of return, kind of the rate of return from the industry, went negative. In other words, meaning that you got less money out than you put in. And that's nobody likes that because this is what's called an absolute return business, meaning that they sell the idea that over a long time horizon, they have always generated positive returns, unlike many other asset classes. So in light of that, the 10-year returns turning negative has terrified many people and said, you know what, and myself included, this industry is too big. The way to get it back to health isn't to just restructure it, it's to shrink it. And so the way to shrink it is to wipe out many of the larger venture funds. It's the fastest way of shrinking the industry. And when the industry shrinks back to health, it's better for everybody because it means that it's more viable, it's healthier, it's going to be able to fund more entrepreneurs and be more active than an industry that's constantly sort of fumbling around trying to figure out what tomorrow is going to look like because it's been losing money.
What does this mean for the entrepreneur who's looking for money?
So the rise of all of these smaller, I call them super seed or super angel funds, is fantastic for entrepreneurs because what it means is that rather than having only one or two very large funds who I have to convince one or two of them to give me the money I need, I can now raise it in smaller slices from a host of different people, all of whom give me, you know, $100,000 or $200,000, and there's five of them and I raise my $1 million or whatever I need. In the old days, I had to raise $5 million or $6 million, and there were only a couple of very large funds, and once one or two of them said no, now, well, that's it, lights out. You can't do anything anymore. Now there's, you know, 25, 30, 50, 100 of these smaller funds floating around out there now, and beginning to see some of them in Canada. And as a result, there's so much more of a, you know, diversity in the base. There's more places to raise the money, and that's fantastic for entrepreneurs. It just means that you have to be able to raise it in smaller pieces from a larger range of companies, a larger range of firms.
Now, one of the points that you brought up in your talk is that entrepreneurs are becoming smarter, yeah, more aware. How's that happening?
So we get preoccupied with what's happening on the financial side. So the entrepreneurs are a big part of what's changed here. And the entrepreneurs now are getting smarter and getting smarter faster. So there's two things going on. And they're getting smarter faster because of what's happening in large part because of what's happening in their ability to get information and about who are the best VCs? What venture guys are most appropriate for my business? What are best practices in terms of raising money? What terms should I be worried about that might show up in a legal term sheet from a financer? All of this stuff in the past was kind of tribal information that just got handed around from entrepreneur to entrepreneur. And if you didn't have access to the right person, you could never know it. Now it's all on the web on many popular blogs like Venture Hacks or Feld.com or other places where entrepreneurs can get fantastic information about all of this information that otherwise was secret and dangerous, quite frankly, because if you didn't know the information and you got funded, there was an excellent chance that you made terrible decisions and which only showed up years later.
You've also made an analogy to the ecosystem, and you talked about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's very much an ecosystem in that there are, you know, predators and prey and food and all these sorts of things. And so you can't, whenever you start thinking about the changes rippling through the venture marketplace, you have to think about it like you would think about changes rippling through any biological ecosystem. So if you remove the top venture capital firms, what's the implication going to be? It's not just going to be the same as always, except there's no more big venture firms. It's not the way the world works any more than if you remove bears from a forest, it means that everything stays the same except there aren't bears. Nature doesn't work that way. Economic markets don't work that way. And so what's happening is when you remove these so-called sort of apex predators, right, from the financial market, the large venture funds, the number of smaller funds bubble up because they're no longer as terrified anymore that if they make a do a deal and invest in a company, that a big venture firm is going to come along and squash them later because now those big venture funds are less viable. There aren't as many of them. And so the ecosystem is changing in ways that resemble the kinds of changes you see in a biological and ecological sense. And so what I was trying to steer people through was to think through the consequences of these sorts of ecosystem changes. And the most important one is this incredible bubbling up in the numbers of these small funds that are going to appear much more than you would expect, in part because of the disappearance of the large venture funds.
Do you see this as being something that's simply happening in the United States, or is it going to happen in Canada as well?
No, it's happening around the world, but it's going to happen in Canada very quickly. And the reason is because, well, in part because of the performance issues. The performance has been disastrous in Canada and the U.S., and so there are no longer people, as many people, willing to commit capital to the venture, to venture companies under the old terms. So that means that if you're going to raise money, you're going to raise it as a VC, as a venture capitalist, in smaller amounts, just by definition, because there aren't as many people willing to allocate money because the returns have been so disastrous. And so having said that, you're going to see smaller venture funds appear because there's just less money. It's just the math. But at the same time, there are a lot of entrepreneurs who realize that, you know what, I can go out and I can act as kind of a junior venture guy with a small amount of money very easily by just raising $10 million. And I have a bunch of friends and others that I can raise that money from. So I'm going to go out and raise a small fund and play super seed or super angel investor. The barrier to entry in economic terms has gotten very low. So the barrier to entry to becoming a $300 million venture fund is gigantic. It's not just, you know, linear from a $10 million to $300 million fund. It's geometric. It's exponentially harder to raise a $300 million fund. But it's very easy to raise a $10 million fund from friends and family and other people, relatively speaking. And so, as a result, the barriers to having the same thing happen in Canada are very, very low. And at the same time, the need is just as high because you've got all of the same entrepreneurs who want a new generation of financiers who understand what they're trying to do. And so there's an appetite for it, there's demand, and there's push for it because there's a bunch of former investors and others who say, you know what, there's got to be a better way to do this. So it has to, my feeling is it has to shake out the same way.
One of the people in the audience, an entrepreneur, showed me a quote from your talk that he'd written down in his BlackBerry. Mm-hmm. And in that, you referred to the entrepreneur mm-hmm. as being the customer mm-hmm. of the venture capitalist. And that made his eyes light up. What does that mean?
So they're the customer in that they're the person. You have to think about VCs got kind of mythologized in the financial world back in the late 90s and turned into these kind of creators and throwers of lightning and all that kind of stuff, and which was all wrongheaded. They're really a service function, no different than accountants or lawyers. They're just the people who in certain circumstances for certain companies provide you money. Just like in certain circumstances for certain companies you need an accountant or an auditor, right? Because you do. It's just one of the parts of business. Not every company needs venture capital. Only like something like 15% of the fastest growing companies in the U.S. even have venture money. They don't need it. So we got to get away from the idea that everybody needs venture. So in getting away from the idea that everyone needs venture, you realize that venture is a service function. And a venture is a service business, just like accounting, just like the audit business, just like legal. Then who are their customers? Their customers are the entrepreneurs. And the VCs for a long time forgot that, and they're about to realize that in a kind of a plank to the head kind of way.
If you had one piece of advice for today's entrepreneur, what would it be?
For me, the advice I get is mostly about how they pitch what they're doing. And, you know, and the biggest mistake I see entrepreneurs make when they're out pitching what they're doing is they've become much better at making it crisp. They've become much better at telling a story. But what they're still bad at and they need to always work on is the why me and why now. Right? Always answer the question, because it's what your investors are thinking about, is why me and why now? So why you? I understand this is a good idea, but why should you be the one I fund to do it, right? And you've got to be right up front about how you answer that. And the other one that they miss all the time is why now? I get that this is a good idea, but it was probably a good idea 2 years ago, and it's probably going to be a good idea 2 years from now. So why is this the right time to do it? Why don't I wait 2 years and see how other things shake out, and then I'll fund what you do then? So if you don't answer that question, which often never gets asked whenever you're out trying to raise money for your company, you often find you don't get funded and you can't figure out why. Well, one of the reasons why is because you never answered the question, you know, why you and why now? And, you know, those are crucial questions for any entrepreneur to answer.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Sure. Glad I could help.